Today's guest, not unlike Neil Diamond, who writes the songs, Neil Kalin from the California Association of Realtors and Attorney writes the forms that we all sign. He's been attorney at large since 1987. I got licensed December 1987. And he's been on the program going back about 25 years. First time he had to drive up to be, he was live in the studio. He didn't have to, but he did anyway. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, CAR attorney Neil Kalin.
Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure to be on Radio Real Estate.
Well, thank you. And of course, you come up periodically once or twice a year to Santa Barbara and speak directly to the group. And it's always a sold out event. As a matter of fact, I scalp tickets. I make money every time you come up.
Well, glad to help.
I'll be happy. I'll share that with you. You can get a commission.
A pack of gum.
You know, maybe. You know, I see these commercials for Fisher Investments. It's some national firm.
Right.
You see them?
Yeah, I've seen them, yeah.
And they say, we don't ask you for commissions because we are a fiduciary and we are looking out for your best interest. And, well, how do you get paid? Well, the more you make, the more we make. Well, A, that sounds like a commission, and B, I have a fiduciary relationship with my seller, and they're paying me a commission. I think you should sue Fisher Investments because they're implying that if you get a commission, you can't be a fiduciary.
Well, I'll bring that up to the powers that be, way over my head at CAR.
Of course, I begin with a question that I didn't tell you I was going to ask you, so that's good. So here's a question.
Yeah.
They have rules. Seller has to fill out a transfer disclosure statement. This is a civil code. And then,
right.
CAR created the seller property questionnaire to be even more thorough. So there are these rules about 5 days and 3 days and a buyer's right of rescission. Explain the rules and why is it 3 and 5 days?
Oh, well, the simple explanation is, that's what the law says. So what you were referring to is found in 1102 of the California Civil Code. That's the series of sections that require a seller to make a disclosure. And the disclosure that's referred to is the real estate transfer disclosure statement. The CAR form then contractually requires not only the statutory disclosure, the real estate transfer disclosure statement, or TDS, but also the contractual document requires a disclosure on a separate form that you just mentioned, the seller property questionnaire. The seller property questionnaire is just a proprietary form that CAR created because our members said more disclosure is needed and better to have more than to have less.
Now, the seller property questionnaire is not covered under the right of rescission that the California Civil Code is.
Correct.
And what are the time frames, and why do you think they picked those time frames?
Okay, so the time frames are found in 1102.3 of the Civil Code. And I'll just read it to you. If any disclosure or material amendment of any disclosure required by this article is delivered after the execution of an offer to purchase, and it talks about then there's 3 days basically to rescind if the disclosure or material amendment is made after the execution of the offer, or 5 days if it was deposited mail or electronically. And I think the reason for the difference is that the shorter period of time is if there was personal delivery. So you know that the recipient has received this amendment or this updated disclosure. You know that they received it. They don't need that extra time. Whereas originally when this exception was written, 1102.3, it only referred to delivery by mail. Well, of course, you never know exactly when the mail is going to get to somebody, so it may have made more sense to allow more time if there was delivery by mail. And there's a lot of California statutes that use that 5 days for delivery by mail. And it was later amended to include, in part of the 5 days, electronic delivery. And I think the reason the electronic was included in the longer time period rather than the shorter time period is that it was still relatively new that parties were doing everything electronically. And I believe at that time the feeling was, you know, not everybody checks their emails. Emails might be going to spam. You might not. So the person who's receiving this updated disclosure might not find out about it right away.
They might not have. They might not have email.
they also. Pretty hard to get them an email if they don't have it. Yeah,
but back then.
Right. So I think that's why. I mean, nowadays everybody's just so used to doing everything electronically. I think if the law were written today, it probably would have electronic fall within the 3 day rather than the 5 days.
My guest is Neil Kalin, the California Association of Realtors Attorney at Large. Well, they amended the law at some point in time to include email in the 5 days. I don't know if that was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but, you know, probably in the 90s or 80s, 90s or 2000.
So, you know, I don't have that in front of me.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But the point is they amended it. So they could amend it today to put the electronic email delivery under the 3 day time period. Shouldn't they do that?
Here is CAR's opinion about amending statutes. We don't like amending statutes because we never know what's going to come out. You know, for example, let's say CAR, and let's say CAR members agreed with you, okay, at least agreed with the proposition that you're setting forth, that electronic delivery should result in a shorter time frame to rescind rather than a longer time frame to rescind. And let's say the CAR member said, we are so upset, we want CAR to do something about it. CAR proposed legislation changing, right? It was changed once, change it again, right? And so CAR proposes some legislation. Well, just because we propose something doesn't mean it's going to come out the same way we propose it. And there's a lot of bad stuff that can happen through the legislative process. So we figured sometimes it's just better to leave well enough alone.
Neil, I'm shaking my head. I agree with you 100%. And that it's a real shame. I do want to make sure. You mentioned when you were talking about the 3 and the 5 days, and you kind of said amended, but it's also the original. If there's no amendments, it's the same time frames that you described. Now, let me circle back. You said...
Yeah, so let me just read to you the part of the statute.
Well, you said deliver,
any material amendment.
Right. So it's going to cover... I'm glad you mentioned that, so people understand if a seller makes a disclosure... You have that right of rescission, and then suddenly if there's an amendment and a new disclosure from the seller, not from a buyer's home inspection, for example, right?
Correct.
Okay. So the disclosure, you said, these time frames apply if the disclosure is delivered after execution of the offer.
That's correct.
So how can a seller circumvent this 3 day, 5 day? How do they have to deliver the disclosure to the buyer? They have to deliver it prior to the execution of the offer. Now, if you get an offer and the seller counters the offer with the disclosures, we don't have an execution of the offer yet, and you're giving the buyer a counter, so that means the first offer is dead. There's no offer. There's no execution of the offer. So how does that work?
That is what it means, Mark. You're correct about that. But I think we have to remember, we have to look at this statute and we have to interpret it in light of the intent of the statute. And the intent of the statute is to protect buyers, right? And how would a seller remove a buyer's ability to rescind an offer? And that is, the seller would have to have some assurance that the buyer received these disclosures in advance of the buyer even submitting an offer. That is the simplest way. How can a seller do that? Well, this is actually a very common practice in Northern California, where the disclosures are posted on the multiple listing service, and the agent would get a copy of those and provide them with a buyer prior to a buyer submitting an offer to a seller. Okay, so that's a very common practice. Now you got to remember, Northern California population-wise, I'm taking a rough guess here, probably represents maybe, I don't know, 25% of the state. And so that would mean, what, 75, 70% of the state, whatever it is not do business that way. The disclosures are provided either after a buyer makes an offer or after a contract has been agreed to by both buyer and seller. Now, what you suggested is something that I think is very interesting, and honestly, I would be willing to argue both sides of that one, which is, let's say a seller counts, so no disclosures made in advance. Buyer makes an offer on day one. Seller issues a counter on day two. The legal effect of a counter offer is that it essentially eliminates the original offer, even though it typically refers back to many of the terms in the original offer. But the original offer is no longer capable of being accepted. Seller delivers that to the buyer, now on day two. So the buyer's not bound by anything. So before the buyer can be bound, the buyer has the ability to see the seller's disclosure and make a decision as to whether the buyer wants to accept the seller's disclosure. Now, I think there's a very good argument that can be made that satisfies the intent of this statute, that a buyer cannot be bound and lose their right to rescind, right, unless the buyer has received information before the possibility of the buyer being bound in a contract. And I think that counteroffer situation you describe makes sense. Now, to argue the other side of that same coin, I'd say, well, but the language says that this right occurs if the disclosure comes after execution of the offer. Well, the buyer executed an offer. The buyer executed that offer on day one. So anything that happens after day one will be after the buyer's execution of the offer.
Right. Right? It says so execution.
To me, that's an interesting one.
It says execution of the offer. Execution of the offer, that means writing the offer? It doesn't mean an offer is written and accepted?
So that you pointed out another great item that is, some could say, ambiguous in the statute. Right? Does execution mean unilateral execution or mutual execution? There's nothing in the statute that says. So I go back to, what is the point of the statute? The point of the statute is to give the buyers protection. And you're not really giving a buyer protection if what you say is mutual execution. The only way you're really giving the buyer protection is when the buyer initially executes that offer, signs the offer.
Right. My guest is Neil Kalin, California Association of Realtors attorney. And I agree with you. No one's trying to strong-arm a buyer. That's not the point of this conversation, right? We're trying, you want the buyer to have time, you know, and more than likely, he's got a home inspection, and more than likely, he's got other ways to get out. He's got a loan contingency, unless you have a deal where a buyer says, you know what, this is a cash deal. I'm waiving all inspections. Then suddenly this becomes a little more critical, because the seller really doesn't have a contingency-free transaction until said 3 or 5 days has passed.
That's correct.
And I suppose, like you suggested, the only way to do it right is to say, you know, we want a receipt for reports, we want to give you these disclosures, and we want you to sign a page that you've received them. You don't have to approve them, but if you've received them prior to even writing the offer, then there's no debate about whether execution is mutual or unilateral.
That's correct.
And Northern California does it. Okay, now here's a follow-up question. Going along, you're following the statute, you deliver it, hand deliver it 3 days, or you deliver it by email, it's 5 days. What happens after said time frame expires? The buyer doesn't have to say, I approve or disapprove. What happens after said time frame expires and the buyer doesn't return the disclosure signed?
It does not matter. The rights established under either the statute or the contract have expired, which is why it is important to prove for the seller or the seller's agent to be able to prove that delivery was made. That's the crucial time frame, delivery of these disclosures. When was the delivery made? Do you want to be able to prove when delivery is made? Because that will tell you when you start counting your 3 days or your 5 days. Whether the buyer responds or not is irrelevant at that point. Because it's not irrelevant, because the buyer, if the buyer wants to get out, the buyer has to affirmatively rescind. But if the buyer does nothing, the buyer loses the right to rescind. If the buyer is silent, how is the seller going to know? Well, our contract says, buyer, you need to sign that you've received. Can you actually, you know, make that happen? No, there's nothing you could do to really make that happen. So you have to be able to establish that on the seller side, that you have effectuated delivery,
and
whether it's electronic or whether it's personal.
And delivery is not necessarily directly to the buyer from the listing agent, but it's to the buyer's agent. That's delivery, right?
That is correct, because we have defined delivery in our contract. I'm going to pull that up right now.
Do you think anyone's going to question anything you say? You don't have to give us paragraphs and name the, like someone's actually checking. No, it's Civil Code 1102, not 1103.
Yeah, you're right. Yes. But we say delivery means it shall be effective upon personal receipt of the document by buyer or seller or their authorized agent.
Okay.
So
okay.
Delivery can be effective to the agent.
Okay. My guest, Neil Kalin, California Association of Realtors. He helps write the forms. He helps write the forms. So everyone understands this. Now, in addition, we got this new form. There used to be a small little few lines where the agents would make some observations. And now we have two forms, the AVID, A-V-I-D, Agent Visual Inspection Disclosure, one from the listing agent representing the seller, one for the buyer's agent. And did CAR or statutory code say that the listing agent's agent visual inspection disclosure, does that carry the same right of rescission as the transfer disclosure statement from the seller?
Yes, but I'm going to nuance it a little bit, okay, based on the way you phrased the question. So what has to be delivered is a completed disclosure. And the statute actually defines completed disclosure. It says the right to terminate, the right to rescind, commences when, remember we're talking about the TDS here now, sections 1 and 2, which are seller sections, seller sections the seller needs to complete in the transfer disclosure statement, and if the seller is represented by an agent, then also section 3, which is the seller's agent's section. The buyer's entitled to see what the seller says about the property and what the seller's agent says about the property. There is a section for the buyer's agent to complete, but fortunately the statute recognizes, and this was an amendment as well, that we don't need the buyer's agent's section to be complete in order to trigger the right to rescind. And why do I say that? Because then every buyer's agent is just going to say, well, guess what? I'm going to wait until the day before close of escrow to complete my section so that my buyer will always have a statutory right to rescind.
Well,
so it makes no sense to tie that into triggering the buyer's right.
Great explanation. It must be the seller's transfer disclosure must be a complete disclosure, and part of that disclosure is their agent, the listing agent, completing their agent visual inspection disclosure. Excellent recap. Neil Kalin, California Association of Realtors Attorney at Large. We have some other topics. I didn't read anything that I wrote here. I think I covered everything. I tell you what, let's take a commercial break. I'll read it. If I forgot something, I'll ask you, but then we can come back and you could talk about some things that you had mentioned that's still happening right now, a buyer representation, getting agreements signed, the difference between the National Association of Realtors settlement and California law. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.